Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Thank you so much, band. Really appreciate you guys. Last week, for those who were here, Christoph shared, and he and his wife are on the way to Somerset West, and last week was sort of a type of goodbye towards them. This week, we're saying another goodbye. Well, Anton, who's and Tani Ido, have been in our congregation for the best part of 10 years, and have really served faithfully in the last couple of years, served as an elder in the church. We just want to honor you guys so much. We want to thank you, and we want to just, we're so aware that God builds upon people like you. An example that you guys have set for us of Christ-likeness, of godliness. And so they're leaving in this week, even they're moving. So I joked this morning, and it's not so much of a joke. So if you have a map of South Africa and you find a place called Nowhere, and then you go look a little bit further and you find nothing, and you draw a line halfway in between it, that's where they're moving to. Up way in the north of the country. But if you really want to know where it is, if you take a map of South Africa, literally take the middle of South Africa, and you go to the very northernmost point, right in the middle of South Africa, right at the border of Botswana, that's very close to where they're going to be. And just an exciting opportunity that God has opened and that they've sensed in their heart God is leading them to. There's a young church that's ministering to workers on the farms in that area. It's very, very rural. And ministering to the farms, to the farm workers, as well as to the farmers. And just a beautiful thing that God is doing there. He's also just created a space there for, we've been sending teams there for the last 3 or 4 years to go and minister to church leaders. Church leaders come from quite far, 200-300 kilometers away for a weekend, 4 times a year. And we just impart into their lives and try and equip them as leaders as they go back to the places where they minister. And Anton and Tani Ida are going to be moving there in this week and just fully committed to the work of God in that community. And so we're excited with you guys. We're sad on the one side because it's always sad seeing loved ones leave. But as we said this morning, family is always family. And we know that as they go, they remain family, and we commit to continue supporting them as much as we possibly can and praying for them. I know they're going to be praying for us. And it's with a joyful but sad heart that we say, may God really bless you everywhere you go. Everything you do, may it prosper, may it flourish. May the ministry in that whole Toska, Vergelia, Bray, Molopo district just go from glory to glory, that the world will see something of the love of Christ manifest in you guys, through you guys, and what God is doing there and how He's going to use you to build. So Anton is going to share the word with us this evening, and let's open our hearts as he shares with us for maybe not the last time, but the last time probably in a while. Baie dankie, Wim. We really appreciate you.
Thanks, Philip. Well, if you look at that picture, that's what it looks like there. So I hope if you look at that, it makes you want to come and visit us there. And especially if you like reptiles. So there's a lot of puff adders and mambas and other stuff and scorpions and leguans. Whatever you want, it's there, and people. And now we will be there as well. What I want to share with you tonight is actually a prayer that's on my heart for this church, for our church that we're going to, and for the church in general all over the world. And it comes out of the greatest sermon of all times. And I hope you know what I refer to. When Jesus was sitting on the mountain, Matthew 5:27. Matthew said, Jesus sat down and he opened his mouth and he started talking. What the way that he's put, that he put it there in the original language means he spoke with authority. And we know he is God, so he could speak with authority. But the people sitting there didn't know, not all of them knew it. And then he went on, the first that he did was, he said to the people, who are the blessed ones? And I think you maybe know that better than me out of your head. Blessed are those who did. Blessed are those who did. And that word blessed means extremely happy, extremely joyful, extremely content with life, with God. And the one of those that I want to share a little bit, not much because that's not my main point I want to do, but what I want to share with you is the one that says, blessed are those who are poor of spirit. And what that means is a real hunger for God because you know who you are. You know how much you need him. I pray that all of us will be poor of spirit. That we know where we come from. We know where we're going because of him, not because of me. And that is my prayer for each and every one of us tonight, and also for this church in the future, and for our church and the church worldwide. So in the middle, yeah, at the end of this, it started with he opened his mouth and he talked, and then at the end it says, and the people were amazed. They stand in awe. They couldn't believe all the wisdom that came out of his mouth in that sermon. And that is because it's the greatest sermon of all times. I want to encourage you to go and spend some time and read it again and again. And read it, not to finish it, read it to listen what Jesus was saying to the people, what he's saying to us, what he wants from us, how we need to live. It's in that sermon. And they were astonished because obviously they couldn't believe that somebody has got all this knowledge. Now, in the middle of this sermon, more or less in the middle, he said to the people, I'm going to tell you, this is my own words now, I'm going to tell you how to pray. Before that, before he started with the actual prayer, he mentioned a couple of things, what is important about prayer, and I want to encourage you to read that as well. So really spend time reading the whole sermon that Jesus gave to that people on the mountain. If we look at the prayer that he showed to, or shared with the people as an example how to pray, if you want to read, I'm going to share out of my heart tonight. I'm not going to follow my slides, really. And what I'm saying comes out of that scriptures that's on the screen. So if you want to take a photo of that and go and read it afterwards, feel free to do it. So I think it's important that we pay attention to this prayer. Now, if you look at the prayer that Jesus gave to that people, I can tell you we can have sermons on that prayer probably for 2 months. And I want you to, I'm giving you two challenges tonight. The one is what I said, read the whole sermon. The other one is pray that prayer that Jesus gave to us every day. But don't read it. Don't read it to just say, I've done it. And we're going to do the start of that prayer now. Only the first part. Because we're going to sit here the whole night if we do the whole prayer. But just an ex- as a way that we can use this prayer, not use it, but do it, because it's a. If you look at Jesus' words, he said, "This is how you must pray." It's an instruction. So there's something in that prayer that we need to understand, and we can only understand it if we do it, and God will show it to us. He will open it in our hearts. So that prayer started off Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So who is this Father that we're praying to? I want to ask you to just be quiet for 30 seconds and ask God to show you something of his greatness from something you know that happened or from the scripture. And then after that, a bit of quiet time, I want to give you chance, one or two or three people, just to come and share. What make you stand in awe of this Father that we are praying to? So just pray for yourself, and then I want to give you an opportunity to just come and share.
As I was praying, I was reminded of when I was 5. I was still pretty young. Most of the story, my parents kept filled in the blanks. I remember part of it. We were supposed to go on a combined family outing thing. We were supposed to go on a game drive. So we're still in town, we're prepping to go. My dad is going into the building where he works to go get the car from the basement. Some on the other side of the road. I'm young, my dad's going, I'm crying, why is he leaving me? I run into the middle of the road and I stand there and I'm crying. We've got 2 full families over here with my grandma, and there's a lot of people there. Now they all just look at me as a white VW Beetle comes and runs over me. And so it knocked me over, drove over me, and all I remember seeing was a car in front of me, and then seeing part of the exhaust as the car goes past. And then seeing the guy do a U-turn, and then I remember waking up in the hospital. But when we got to the hospital, I didn't have a bruise, a scar, or anything that would say I fell, or something touched me, or like anything. And for me, that's a miracle that I cannot explain. But it was before I even understood who God was. And so that's been the story of my life, and that's my testimony. So I got reminded of that.
Anybody else?
Something that makes me in awe of who God is, and that I was reminded of, 3 things. One is just how he's given me an incredible wife. This is 4 brownie points. 2, we're starting a family, and I'm amazed at how God can create life within Megan's body, and it just blows my mind. You just feel the little guy kick, and he's like, it's like human in there. But then the 3rd one, which I think the others pale in comparison to, is how he's made me into a new person, a new creation. He's taken away all my sin. He's taken away all the bad that I've ever done, and he's put me on a path to serve him. Yeah.
Amen. Thanks, Kyle. Anybody else?
And I think for me, one thing that stands out about God's fatherhood is how he takes in orphans, that those who don't belong to him, that, you know, like if you think about, you have your house, you have your kid, and like they ruin your house, you know. For those who have kids, like most of us, I don't think, you know, you did it to your parents. So, and they ruin your house, and now God's heart is just like he gives the orphan a father. And that for me is such a big thing, that like, even though people are nothing of him, that he still welcomes them into their household, into his household, and he accepts them as like his own child, you know, like not a second grade child, but he accepts the orphans into his house.
Wow. Thanks very much. Anybody else?
I just want to, oh, this is weird. I want to share two miracles, and it's these things that remind me that God still does miracles in the present day, and that even though sometimes we feel like we're so far from him, these things remind me that he's really at work. So my family and I used to live in Pakistan for 4 years, and we were there during 9/11. So it became really dangerous, and there was a Christian school, elementary school in the mountains somewhere. And the Taliban approached the school, and they were ready to basically shoot and kill everybody in the school. So the teachers and the children were hiding, and nothing happened, and the Taliban ran away. And I can't remember all the details. 9/11 was a long time ago, but what I heard was someone said that they saw massive, like, white men in armor and fire around the entire school. And that's just a testimony. I'm also going to cry. That's just a testimony of how active God is still doing miracles, and that these Muslim terrorists were afraid of God's angels protecting the school. And the second one is a short one. We also used to live in Japan, and we there was a homeless ministry that we were working at. And every Sunday we would go and hand out coffees and food, and it's just so inspiring. Some of the homeless men knew the Bible better than some of us. It's just incredible how they met Jesus there. But there was one time my mom was pouring out coffee, and she had like this pitcher or a jug, and she would pour it empty, completely finished. And she would go to the next person, and there would just be coffee, and it was never ending. They didn't have enough coffee for all the people, and God just worked there to, like, magically, in his way, refill the coffee for everyone there. And, I mean, you can say it's a small thing, or, you know, maybe you saw wrong or whatever, but I completely believe this is a miracle, and it shows God is still working with miracles.
So we've heard a couple of testimonies now, and what I want to do is just remind us in Scripture. If we read in Scripture, he is the one who 6,000 years ago created everything in 6 days by speaking words. He is the one who made the Israelites live in the desert for 40 years, and he sustained them. He is the one that let them go through the Red Sea on dry sand, and after them the whole Egyptian army drowned in that same sea. And we can carry on and on and on in Scripture. And the one that I was thinking tonight of is there was a man killing all the Christians of that time, chasing them. And he was on his way to capture a lot of Christians. And God stopped him in his tracks. And he became one of the biggest apostles we know. He didn't plan to follow Jesus. He didn't plan to change his life. It was God who said, I am the one who you are persecuting. And I will make you my disciple. This is the God we serve. This is the God who did this miracles and stuff that we heard just now. So this is who we pray to if we say, our Father in heaven. He's our Father. I can call him Father. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me. If it wasn't for Jesus, I couldn't call him Father. But now I can. And that shows he's close to me. He cares for me. He cares for all of us. He cares for the world. And then we will praise his name. Hallowed be your name. And that's what we did tonight. We praise his name because he is the only living God. If I pray that every night when I pray this prayer that Jesus gave to us, I will get into the habit of seeing and believing and experiencing his greatness. Then the second part after this, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what is the kingdom? How does his kingdom look? I want to read a piece of scripture here. There's a song that we sang this morning. One of the versions of the prayer. The words is, let your kingdom come, let your will be done deep down in my heart. If we pray this prayer, and if we think of what we said a little bit earlier, if I am hungry for God, if I am poor in spirit, I'm asking him that his kingdom will come in my heart. I think often we think, let your kingdom come, and we pray for the world around us because there are so many, we see all these bad things and all these things that distract our attention from the one, the living God, and we pray for that. But what about my own heart? I didn't share it this morning, but I want to share a very, very short personal testimony with you. We had a meal with family a couple of months ago. And 12 of us, that's a good figure, eh? 12. Almost like disciples, except that unfortunately not all of us are disciples. So I was listening to all these discussions, and I can say it to you tonight. It is my brothers and sisters. And I know some of the things that they believe in and they do and whatever. And I was listening to them and I didn't say a word the whole meal. I didn't even actually talk to them. And I was praying and I said to God, why must I listen to all of this? How fake are they? And that night, God woke me up and he said to me, you are exactly the same. And I'm following Jesus since about 1974. I gave my heart to Jesus in 1974. And this happened last year. And God said to me, you are just as fake. And I had to repent. Because why? I don't love them with the love that he has for them. I just criticize them. I'm negative about them. How can I give Jesus' love to that people, or those brothers of my blood brothers and sisters, if I don't love them? The thing is, I can't do it by myself. I need the Holy Spirit. And when I pray, Jesus, Father, let your kingdom come. I can pray, Father, let your kingdom come in my heart. If my heart changes, if my heart becomes like his heart, his kingdom will come in my family, in my church, in the world around me. So if we pray, and I want to read, I hope I can read this. You know, at some stage in your life, your eyes doesn't work that well anymore. But I'm going to try this. Colossians 3. Now, I'm going to read this slowly, and I want you to really pay attention to the words of Paul. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When I got born again, I died. So if somebody offends me, it means I'm not dead, because it's me, my flesh. So we pray that we can really die of ourselves. This is what Paul is saying here. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of those, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And it's not, we can say this is for the people around us, but God is talking to each and every one of his children. We must put this away, all of this. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with his practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, after the image of its creator, the one who created the world, the Father. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And on each and every of these aspects, I want to challenge you to go and read in the Bible what that actually means. That we can understand how our lives can change if we let the Holy Spirit control us. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And on love, we can have sermons, 10 sermons, 20 sermons. Love covers so much, so many things. 1 Corinthians, that scripture said that I gave, you can read that, Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 13. It's full in the Bible of how our lives is supposed to change. And that is my prayer for this church. I'm saying it again, for the church we're going, for the church over the, all over the world. That we understand if we pray to the Father and we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth, in my heart, in our church, as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is eternity. We want to be part of that eternity. I want God to change my life, that I can say that I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God. It's actually out of scripture. I'm a tent maker. I'm temporarily on this earth, but I'm a representative of the kingdom of God. And let that kingdom come in my heart. So tonight, if we can, if you can play us a version of the, I want you to listen to that. As we listen to that, let us go on our knees. And we pray with that song. Concentrate on God. Ask Him to show what in my life I need to ask Him to change. How much love do I have? How much patience? You can name them all. Galatians 5 verse 20 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit. How much of that is visible in my life? How much of that is visible through our church into this world? And I want to encourage you to spend time with God every day. Ask Him to show you and guide you. And we all need to do that. And lead us to serve Him with all of our lives. We are not part-time Christians. There's no thing like a part-time Christian. You're either a Christian or you're not. We are full-time. All of us are full-time ministers, full-time disciples. And I pray that for everybody tonight. So we're going to listen to that song, and let's go on our knees and we pray, ask God to show us where we need to change. What, ask Him to come into your life, to change your life tonight. And as we sing and we pray, and there are people who want something specific to be prayed for, come to the front that we can pray for you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.